This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is your MVP for all your commercial mechanical needs. Just give them a call and make your next project a win. Go to FrazierEngineering.com to find out more. Frazier Engineering, great people doing great work.
B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help your ratings.
Sorry, John. Thank you. Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Everybody, welcome to the program. Felger Maserati coming to you on Tuesday, January 15th. We come to you from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester at the beautiful Beasley Media Group. We broadcast a 98.5 on the FM dial. That's in the Boston metro area. We simulcast on television across the country and New England on NBC Sports Boston. Presenting sponsors are DraftKings. It's the same on both sides of it. You can also catch us whenever you want on the app or at 98.5, the Sports Hub. com. Anthony, Big Jim Murray alongside, again from our Town Fair Tire Studios. And it's Tuesday, Mass. So you know what that means.
Big boy.
The big fellow himself, Greg Bedard from Boston Sports Journal, joins us via location. Greg, are you there?
I am here. Hi, guys.
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Good.
Okay, what did we learn this weekend? Divisional round at the NFL.
What I learned was that the Patriots need to up their talent level overall. I don't have a huge reaction to the weekend other than, you know, the finishes were, you know, really good and interesting, and it was fun. Certainly the final game was a track meet, a great quarterback game by both quarterbacks. But I thought overall in the big picture, I still think the NFL is the NFL where you need to figure out how to get some key stops. You need to be as efficient as you can be on offense. And I don't have a huge panic about where the Patriots are other than they need to up their talent level overall. And I don't include quarterback in that computation.
So follow up on that. You know, a Patriot fan shouldn't be concerned seeing how some of those games were played?
No, I think that there's always recency bias, and everybody will look at the Chiefs Bills game and be like, oh, how the heck are we going to be able to hold up or keep up with those teams? And I think that was a unicorn game. And I also think it was two bad defenses when you really look at it. I mean, the Bills statistically were much better, but they had, very similar to the Patriots, they had the ability to get exposed by the right team. And that's somebody with a good quarterback, multiple weapons, can spread you out, take advantage of the coverage at linebackers, their lack of a real pass rush, things like that. And I thought the Chiefs were the right team to do that, just like I thought the Bills were the right team to do that to the Patriots. And I think the Chiefs' defense was very similar to the Patriots all year in that they were terrible at the beginning of the year, found some things mostly because of the schedule where they improved. And then towards the end of the season, they were one of the worst defenses in the league. So I think that component of it has largely been left out of the conversation in, the past couple days since that game. So when it comes to the Patriots, you know, I just think that overall it just showed that they need to up their talent level, specifically on defense. Do they need a couple pieces on offense? Sure. Yeah, they do. But defensively, they have to get faster. They have to be able to cover, and they have to find a way to make more negative plays, or else they're going to be like those teams on Sunday night where they can't get a stop ever.
And that's how you would approach it. You would, whatever the direction of the league is or what we learned over the weekend, you would chase it, for lack of a better term, on defense versus trying to keep up on offense.
Well, I think they need to do both. I think they, you know, but yes, I'm concentrating most of my attention to the defense, just like they did most of their attention to the offense this past offseason. I think that they need to, you need to find a way to have the ability to play in a track meet like this. You're going to need the ability to have multiple weapons available to your quarterback. And I think that's where the Bills really grew from last year to this year. you know, the emergence of Gabriel Davis, getting Cole Beasley back, the emergence of Dawson Knox, you know, Isaiah McKenzie. You know, they were able to go deeper in terms of their weapons on offense. The Patriots have to get there. I don't think they need a dangerous guy. Stephon Diggs barely had an influence in the game. He might have influenced the Chiefs' defense a little bit in terms of the attention, but I don't think it was that big of a deal in the game. And Stephon Diggs was marginalized. I think the Patriots need to get better on offense with all their weapons. You know, what got running back out of the backfield after they lost James White. But defensively is where I think the Patriots are most behind, and especially the way they finished in the final five games, where, you know, you need cover guys, you need guys who are going to help make negative plays to give you a chance to get off the field, even if you're in a track meet.
So, Craig, most people now look at the game and say, in fact, we've talked about it. Nick Saban even said, I'm not sure you can play defense anymore in this league. It's a hard way to win. But you still believe that that is the way to go, that you can win with defense.
No, I didn't say that. I said you need the ability to make negative plays so you can get a few key stops here and there. That doesn't mean win with defense. That means, you know, hold serve on defense. You know, get a few key stops. And I think people are going way overboard on what they saw in the final game, and I think they're ignoring what they saw in the other three games. You know, I mean, you guys talked all week, or we talked about last week, about, you know, the elite quarterbacks and who are they and do you have one? And if you don't have one, you're screwed. You know, but Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Joe Burrow should have went down if Ryan Tannehill wasn't terrible. All those three quarterbacks were held in check, and two of them lost. The other one should have lost, but they're elite quarterbacks. So, you know, to me, you look at it in those games this weekend, and I was looking through stats. You know, just since 2016, in the last, I think it would be, you know, 5.5 postseasons, there have been 18 playoff games with a combined 65 points or more, like the Sunday night game, okay? Of those 18 winners, six have gone on to the Super Bowl, and that includes, like, the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan, and there's one other guy like that, and three have won it. The 2019 Chiefs and the 2018 Patriots, who did it twice in that postseason against the Chargers and the Chiefs. So that's three in air quotes. I just think that these type of games happen a lot. I don't think they mean a lot. You just have to find a way to get off the field. And to me, it was about those two defenses and their deficiencies rather than, oh my God, the quarterbacks are unbelievable, which they are, but they're not unstoppable. There's always an answer. And trust me, a lot of teams will be studying, including the Patriots, on how to slow down Josh Allen in the Bills. We were in the same place with Mahomes a couple years ago. He's been stopped. The Bills couldn't do it, but there are plenty of teams that have.
Greg, so 21st pick in the draft, Patriots have an opportunity to take Ja'Marr Chase type to help out Mac Jones or Micah Parsons type. What do you pick, or what should they pick?
Definitely Micah Parsons, somebody who is going to create negative plays. You know, if you told me who's picking the wide receiver, you know, maybe I might have it. You know, if it's Josh McDaniels who picked Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker in Denver, okay, maybe I give him a chance to find somebody. But I think you could find receivers in the second and third round. I mean, it would depend on the guy there, Jim. But I think, to me, you know, Micah Parsons was the guy I was high on last year in the draft. I picked him for the Patriots. If he fell that far, he didn't go that far. I think that the three down front seven NFL player on defense is more of a unicorn than a really good wide receiver. So I'm going with that guy.
Okay. So folks, we're going to continue the fallout from the weekend games, how it relates to the Patriots with Greg Bedard. There's more than enough material from those games to give it a second day. So that's what we're going to do. 617-779-0985. We'll get into all the other stuff that have, you know, sort of the ancillary topics off of that. The future of Brady, the future of Rodgers in Green Bay, some of the coaching stuff. And I'll just hit on one of those topics right now before we go to the break and then get to your phones. And that is Josh McDaniels. Now, Greg, I'm going to ask you specifically about Sean Payton later on in the show, but there is now another opening. If you're just joining us, it was breaking news in the last half hour. Sean Payton has retired, he says, or at least stepped down from the job in New Orleans. So now there is another vacancy.
What does this all mean for Josh McDaniels? What are you hearing there?
I did not know about that. Sorry, I've been working and not looking up. So I did not know about the Saints, even though that was rumored and I thought that might happen. It depends on their setup. I don't know how much longer Mickey Loomis has. I know Jeff Ireland, who's sort of like his underling, interviewed at Jobs. So that tells me that Mickey Loomis, the general manager there, plans on being there for a while. So that's a strong GM alignment. I don't see that as appealing to Josh McDaniels. I think that the Raiders are probably the only opening that would intrigue Josh McDaniels, depending on who they favor at general manager. If it's, you know, if it's Dave Ziegler from the Patriots, Josh McDaniels and Ziegler go back a ways, back to, you know, Denver. They both went to the same college. I think that certainly McDaniels is intrigued by the possibilities there. As far as I know, he's right. He's still in fact-finding mode with that opening and what happens and you know, do I want that? And what are some of the other things I have to deal with in Vegas? Like, you know, young football players in Las Vegas, is that possible for success doing that, those types of things? But I think as of right now, the Raiders opening is the only one that I think he would seriously consider.
What about Mayo? Where are we at with that?
I don't know. I think either he has interviewed with the Raiders or will be interviewing with the Raiders. Yes, people are high on him. They think he will be an NFL head coach. I do sense some reluctance around the league to give him a head coaching job when he hasn't even really run a room full time in terms of the defense here with the Patriots. I mean, my advice to Gerard would be, you know, and maybe this happens because this often happens in these interview processes where a team interviews people and they say, you know, hey, how about we didn't hire him as head coach, but how about Gerard Mayo as a defensive coordinator? I think Mayo needs to go someplace and run his own defense. And so it's clear, unless he gets that from Bill here, where he says, all right, you're in charge, I'm giving you the title. I think he needs to do that because I think people are reluctant to just give Gerard Mayo a team when it's hard to really say if he's even run a room yet.
Well, and I know you feel that's on both sides. Mayo needs to get out of here to get so he gets his unit, and here in New England they need to define who the defensive coordinator is and have one guy leading that side of the ball. So all that's on the table. To your phones with Bedard at 617-779-0985 right after
this. Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Miller Lite. Miller Lite, official partner of the Boston Celtics, would like to say cheers to 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball, to 17 banners, to the players, coaches, and staff from yesterday and today. And, of course, cheers to Celtics fans everywhere. So raise the original light beer to this storied franchise and cheers to another 75 years of Boston Celtics basketball. From your friends at Miller Lite, it's game time, it's Miller time.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
No, definitely grumpy. I don't care. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
Where the shame comes in for Buffalo. Remember, Poyer and Micah Hyde got offended. I think it was those two when they lost to New England.
Yes.
And the reporter asked about the fact that, you know, he only, you know, they only threw the ball three times and stuff like that. They should have been a little bit offended because obviously they held New England to, you know, minimal points and they still lost the game and it wasn't their fault. You should be ashamed of yourself last night. The entire defense. Josh Allen is a 25-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
And this dude took you to the AFC Championship game last year and was on the verge of taking it to you. He answered the call. I mean, every pressurized situation you could possibly be confronted by, he was and stood up. And oh, by the way, in the end, you know what he was begging for? Just give me the ball back.
Yeah.
Just give me the ball. I already delivered for you, okay, on two separate occasions, not needing a field goal, needing a touchdown.
Yeah.
I already delivered for you twice. In the last 2 minutes, he did everything but get on his knees on national television in front of the defense and beg them, just give me the ball. Just give me the ball. That's all I ask. Give me the ball back.
Stephen A. on ESPN. Just a little scene setter for Bedard before we get back to the phones. And I think Bedard agrees largely that game was more about the defense than Josh Allen or Pat Mahomes. Be that as it may, Has Josh Allen shown you something this postseason, Greg? Do we have any movement with you and Josh Allen?
Yeah, absolutely. I wrote this the other day. I mean, that's Sunday night was the definitive proof I've been waiting for. I thought that the Tampa game, the second half of the Tampa game, and we talked about it, I had thoughts about being like, all right, I think he's there now. And was ready to say it, but I kind of, you know, I always wait for confirmation. Sunday night was confirmation for me. I mean, while I do think there were certain elements of Josh playing this, the fumble that bounced right to him, there were a couple shaky, there was a throw behind Beasley that was almost picked off. There was the check down to the running back that was almost a disaster, and he realized it. There's still those Josh plays where at a certain point in time, those would have cost the Bills. But what's changed, especially in the latter half of the season, I think even with the Bills from the second half of the Tampa game, his play on every other, sort of on every play, his ability to take the check downs, not force the ball, not to be a hero, his running ability that they both sides have enhanced a little bit more down the stretch, all of it has sort of come together To me, now, there's no doubt in my mind that he is elite, that he is. I thought he was spectacular the other night. I think that his ability to make those simple plays and take the checkdowns, these are things that he did not do before. For him to go into Kansas City, where just a year ago he was a disaster in the AFC Championship game and cost his team in that game. You just see the maturity from one year to the next, what he did on Sunday night. And I do think, look, a lot of it was the Chiefs' defense. You know, three of the touchdowns was wide open. But, like, the Gabriel Davis, the deep touchdown, that play was sensational. The fourth down, not the fourth and 13, you know, that was the route on Davis. But the fourth and six pickup, to me, was the most impressive play in that game for him to avoid people and you know, get out there and pick up the first down. I think also if you look at the way the Bills have started to call the game, and how they've changed. There was a reason why they didn't make it Josh-centric for a while. It's just why the Patriots never made it Mac-centric for all season. You know, because they thought that Josh could fly off the handle. I think that second half of the Tampa game earned the respect of the coaching staff to say, all right, now we can put it all on Josh. He's ready now to handle it, and he absolutely has been.
Okay. Oh, I would like to applaud Greg Bedard, the big boy. Because Josh Allen is not the only one showing signs of maturity.
We have movement. We have movement. Greg Bedard here in studio until 4 o'clock. He's brought to you by the Granite Group. The Granite Group is an award-winning distributor of Mitsubishi Electric's heating and air conditioning systems. Wow, with locations across Massachusetts and New England. Learn more at customizedcomfort.com. To your phones as promised. Ryan in South Boston. Go ahead, Ryan.
Don't worry, Felger. Mitsubishi gets me every time. I just want to push back a little bit on Bedard's take on the defense. I feel like the league's trending in a direction of you can't really scheme against some of these quarterbacks. So I think you can win on two facets. I think you got either an elite rushing attack with guys like Bosa, Donald, or I think you have an elite quarterback. I don't even think the safety and corner position is what it was even 5 years ago at this point.
Okay, Greg, so if you are focusing on defense, are you focusing, I think you said in the first segment, front seven?
Well, you need guys in the front seven that are going to consistently at least have the ability to generate negative plays. We thought the Patriots had two in Matthew Judon and Christian Barmore, and for whatever reason, Barmore likely because of injury, but Judon for some mystery, that evaporated, and they had nothing in the front seven. But you have to have the ability to play man-to-man, and the Patriots did not have that at the end of the season. I'm sorry, this is part of the reason why I was frustrated at the end of last week. I'm sure we can discuss that more, but whether it's Felger, no matter how many times he says it till he's blue in the face or the callers, I am never going to admit that playing defense in the NFL is hopeless, and that you only are going to win with a great quarterback and a great offense. I am never, ever going to admit it. I don't care how many times you say it. I don't believe it. I think history has, you know, proven that time and time again. Yes, does a great quarterback help and cover up some flaws? Yeah, but that doesn't make you a championship team year in and year out. So, look, the Patriots are going to have to play defense. And the reason that they couldn't get stops at the end of the years against the Bills is not because Josh Allen was great. It was because they were terrible. And they couldn't rush the passer, and they couldn't cover. You know, so you need to find the ability to do that, or else you're not going anywhere.
John's in Brockton. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys. So I just got 2 points. I'll be really quick. But my first one, Greg, what are your thoughts on the Bengals coach? Because I watched Burrow get sacked 9 times, and this guy didn't seem to do anything to help him. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And then real quick, my other point, I know it's like a couple of years removed from Jimmy's trade and stuff like that, but do you think on like because of the lack of success with the Patriots that Bill points to them and says to Kraft, if you didn't make me trade Jimmy, that would be us right now. We'd be with the Niners. It's your fault. You interfered.
Okay, there are the two things. The Bengals approach and Zach Taylor on Saturday.
Do I think Bill says that about Jimmy?
Well,
no, but
go, I'm sorry. Okay. Go ahead on Garoppolo. Just go ahead.
Okay. Do I think that Bill feels that way about Jimmy? Yes. Do I think he says it? No. That was the plan. The Krafts left it up to Brady. I mean, I don't want to rehash it, but I don't think the whole Garoppolo thing is, you know, all that big of a deal. I mean, that it constantly needs to be rehashed. It's not like he went to a Super Bowl, nearly won one, and now he's back in the NFC Championship game. But again, just like I don't think it's about Allen or Mahomes, you know, that's certainly not about Garoppolo. I think we can all say that.
Well, I mean, here's what I think. So, I'll just jump in. I think Garoppolo and Mac Jones are similar in talent and ability and ceiling, and I think they're going to be in the same class. Maybe one is better than the other, but not by much, and they're going to be roughly the same kind of player. So for those of you who are all horny for Mac Jones out there, you could have started this clock years ago and had a smoother transition and maybe farther along now. Maybe you would have had 5 titles instead of 6. But if you like Jones, you should like Garoppolo, and you should have liked Bill's idea of going to him somewhere towards the end. And they just didn't go from one to the next. And that I still think is a failing. How about Zach Taylor and the Bengals and how they handled that game?
I will say that I still think that, you know, actually I know that, you know, Jimmy was the plan A this offseason, and they might have still drafted Mac Jones. I think that would have been the best scenario for the Patriots. Jimmy this year, Mac sitting a year or two. I think that would have been the best. As far as the Bengals, yeah, I mean, typical Zach Taylor is one of these typical West Coast offensive minded guys where they think, all right, well, as long as I put 5 guys out in the pattern, like somebody's going to be open and we're going to find it, you know, thinking that the other team isn't going to cover. I mean, and they just forget about that quarterback. It drives me up a wall. McCarthy is similar. McVay is similar. So, you know, to me, that's another, you know, piece of evidence that shows that defense can make a difference, and defense is not hopeless anymore in the NFL.
Peter in the car. Go ahead, please.
Hey, guys. I got 2 quick points here. First off, I just want to say I live up in central New Hampshire, and I mainline your program daily through the app the day after, like a newspaper almost. So I love it when there is a gap in between it and an important game gets played, like that San Francisco game, because I got off, Felga, when I listened to you on Monday from Friday talking about how if Green Bay blows this game against San Francisco, if Green Bay blows this game against San Francisco, because behind listening to it in hindsight is great. My main point is that the idea of a pocket passer in the NFL after me watching this playoffs this year is dead. Mac Jones probably going to be the last one that's ever drafted. Brady, him and Brady are the only true pocket passers left in the NFL.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. Peter, thanks for the call. Give me a minute on that, Greg. Can the pocket passer still thrive in the NFL?
Yes, they're just, you know, like we've been talking about for a decade, they're declining in numbers. You know, you look at the college game and what they have there and what they're recruiting and how they're running offense and the emergence of the spread and all these things, there's just less numbers. But to say that the pocket quarterback is going the way of the dinosaur, I mean, first of all, we've been saying that for a decade, and yet they still work. Now, do I think you need some ability to escape the pocket and pick up plays? Yes, I think Mac Jones has that. But no, to me, you know, you do, and Maz talked about the college game earlier, you do need to look at the college game, because what happens in college is eventually coming to the pros in some form at some point in time as guys age out of the league. And, you know, what you see is, you know, it's more about the weapons and having multiple weapons and spreading things out and the scheme. It's not, you know, the college game is not about dominant quarterbacks, and we can't stop this quarterback. Saban said what he said about scheme and multiple weapons. It's not about the quarterback. The quarterbacks do not dictate the game in college, and that's the same holds true in the NFL. It's about scheme. It's about having multiple weapons that you have to defend and the impact that has on the defense. And so to me, that's the most important thing.
All right, three up, three down from Divisional Weekend with Bedard right after the update.
This Sports Hub On Demand content is brought to you by Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service.
At Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, our total trust guarantee gives you 20/20 vision into everything we do. From service bay cameras to service bay views to our transparent pricing. Each and every day. Stop by your neighborhood Speedy today and see what makes us better. Visit SpeedyNewEngland.com to find your location and save up to $10 on a 17-point oil change. See store for details, restrictions, and exclusions.
Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And now, it's time for three.
Jones with time. Throwing the deep ball down the left side.
What a throw.
Three down.
This is one of the worst throws he's had.
With Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. Three up.
Bucks win. Bucks win. Bucks win the Super Bowl. And then the Cannons go. Fire them. Keep on firing them.
Three down.
He sucks.
He blows.
On Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, three up, three down with Bedard and Maz from Divisional Weekend. It is, as always, presented by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Enjoy the game with a triple distilled, triple cask matured, and triple blended Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. Game time is Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Who is your number one star, your number one up from the Divisional Weekend, Greg?
Patrick Mahomes. I thought he was sensational. He had a higher degree of difficulty against a Bills defense that, you know, lacks some key part against an offense like the Chiefs, but you know, with those two safeties, some of their cornerbacks, I thought Mahomes was unbelievable in that game.
Josh Allen, he was the best player in the league over the weekend. He was unbelievable. Again, postseason rating overall, and I'm including two games now, 149.
Wow.
He made every play that he needed to make in that game. He was phenomenal.
Number two, Greg?
Josh Allen. He was great in that game. He was great, you know, when it really counted on third and fourth downs. His ability to run has sort of it has taken that offense to another level, and that's something that NFL coordinators are going to need to study long and hard in the offseason and how they're going to deal with that. But Allen was sensational on Sunday.
So I should have said this up front. I'm not going to do all quarterbacks. Okay, I'm not going to do all quarterbacks. So, but Allen to me was so good he couldn't be left off the list. I went with Eric Armstead, defensive lineman of the Niners. He was a force in that game, along with Bosa. Their whole defensive line I thought was tremendous and probably the number one reason that they won that game. So I went with Armstead.
Greg, number three.
Gabriel Davis, the Bills wide receiver. I thought he was basically unstoppable in that game. It looked like, you know, the Honey Badger injury was huge in that game, and he's one of those guys that can get you a negative play, a turnover, a strip sack, you know, something. And him being gone really affected the Chiefs' ability on defense. And it was clear that the Chiefs wanted to go after Juan Thornhill, the safety for the Chiefs. And, you know, and Gabriel Davis, I mean, that 4th and 13 when he shook that guy and put him on the ground, broke his ankles. I mean, that's just unreal. And his emergence this year and his second year has been a huge key for the Bills.
I went with Logan Wilson, linebacker, Cincinnati. I don't know how many people watched that game. He was terrific. I know nothing about this guy. He was all over the field. He was their best player on defense. It was a defensive game. I thought he was absolutely terrific.
Nice job, Maz. Who are your second and third stars?
Eric Armstead and Logan Wilson.
There you go. Suck on that out there. Some actual hardcore football analysis, I think. Sounds that way from Maz. Let's get to the downs. Who are your three downs from the weekend?
Sean McDermott. The decision to kick through the end zone lost his team the game. Simple as that. It'll be something that he never lives down unless they win a Super Bowl. this might have been their best and only shot. Who knows? And it was solely his responsibility. That you have to make the Chiefs field the ball there and run off at least 3 or 4 seconds. Has to be done. That it didn't get done is his fault. And so, to me, McDermott's to blame for that loss.
Can I ask you a quick question? When you fair catch it in the NFL on the kickoff, do you get it at the 25 like it is in college, or do you get it? Is it spotted at where you fair caught it?
Well, I think it's spotted.
It's spotted. So yeah. It's not. You don't get in college. They give it to you like it's a touchback. In the pros, it's a spot.
Correct.
So you pop.
Yeah, by the way, on that, I was just going to say it was crap. Who was the receiver? It wasn't Tyreek Hill.
No, it was deep. Pringle.
It was number 13.
Yeah,
Pringle. Yeah. They had kicked off to him earlier in the game, and I think it only went for like 20-something yards, and it ran 7 seconds off the clock.
So you dare him to fair catch it, because fair catching takes no time off the clock, so you can still mm-hmm. do that. But if you pop it up inside the 7, go ahead, fair catch it at the 6. You know, it's just right. Totally botched. Who's your number one dud?
So I said I wasn't going to do all quarterbacks. I didn't say I wasn't doing any. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill. You cost your team the game. 3 picks, you turned it over. You sucked. Congratulations.
You want to follow up quickly, Greg, before you give me number two?
Yeah, I wanted to say also on McDermott, also blaming him. Remember, he called timeouts before each of the 2 Chiefs plays after the kickoff, and they still didn't double Tyreek Hill or hit Kelsey coming off the line. I mean, how many more ways? That's 3 successive plays. The NFL head coach who envisions himself as a CEO and just mostly bitches at the officiating during the game completely dropped the ball. But number 2 for me was Aaron Rodgers. You know, you wanted that game at home. You just needed to make 1 play in that game. You couldn't do it. It's your fault. You're going home. I'm sure he'll blame everybody else in Tarnation because that's what he always does for his own failings. But Aaron Rodgers failed the Green Bay Packers this weekend.
I would love Murray's opinion on this as well. I went with Devin White, the linebacker from Tampa Bay. Invisible.
He's had a bad year.
Invisible. I don't remember seeing him the whole game. And Levante David, I didn't see much of either. Those are the 2 cornerstones of that defense. And they needed to show up on Sunday because the offense was going to have a problem, and they didn't.
3rd dud there, Greg.
Ryan Tannehill, your defense gets 9 sacks. All you need to do is not turn the ball over, and the Titans win that game. And he threw 3 interceptions. 2 of them were awful. He had awful decisions also, throwing behind people, over people. He was horrendous in that game.
Buffalo safeties, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Again, the other guys lost their safety. Tyrann Mathieu went out of that game early. So you want to tell me Josh Allen had some open windows there in the secondary? He did. And he capitalized on them. How do you explain, when you have the 2, maybe the best safety combination in the league, how do you explain giving up the plays that they gave up at the end of the game, not to mention Tyreek Hill bolting down the field? Now, look, Hill's got unique speed, but you have 2 of the best safeties in the game, and you gave up all those plays at the end of the game? Oh, no good.
All right, the very latest on Aaron Rodgers and your phones with the big boy himself, Greg Bedard, on a Big Boy Tuesday continues on Felger and Maz in our long commercial-free segment. Now,
hey, it's Greg Bedard from BostonSportsJournal.com. It's January, the time of year we're bombarded with weight loss commercials. Gyms, exercise equipment, diet plans, and full-service programs like Awaken 180 Weight Loss. No matter who's advertising, it's good to see so many people taking the steps to get healthy. Awaken 180 won't discredit alternative methods for weight loss. If other programs have you feeling full, energized, and has a plan for keeping the weight off, feel proud. If you haven't selected a program yet, I suggest doing what I did and check out Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Set up a consultation, ask questions, and have enough information to decide if it's right for you. To answer a few questions now, yes, it's easy. No, the gym isn't required, and yes, Awaken 180 provides free support for life after you lose the weight. I've now lost 60 pounds, and each week I'm getting closer to my goal thanks to Awaken 180. 7 locations. I go to the newest in Auburn. Book your consultation today at awaken180weightloss.com.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, I think the point is there's no really rush for me to figure out what's next. You know, I'll know when I know. And it's a day after the season, so I think for all of us, you know, we can all decompress a bit. It's been six straight months of football every day consumed by, day in and day out football. And I think now it's just some time to spend some time with my family and spend some time with, you know, my kids and,
hello,
you know,
hi, Vivi.
I can't hear you. He said, hi, Vivi.
Hi.
It's my little angel. You know, get some time with her and make, we had waffles to go this morning, which is really nice. And you know what? I think as I've gotten older, I think the best part is football is extremely important in my life. And it means a lot to me. And I care a lot about what we're trying to accomplish as a team. And I care a lot about my teammates. And the biggest difference now that I'm older is I have kids now too, you know, and I care about them a lot as well. And, you know, they've been my biggest supporters. My wife is my biggest supporter. You know, it pains her to see me get hit out there. And, you know, she deserves what she needs from me as a husband. My kids deserve what they need from me as a dad. And, you know, I'm going to spend some time with them and give them what they need because they've really been giving me what I need the last 6 months to do what I love to do. And, you know, I said this a few years ago, it's what relationships are all about. It's not always what I want. It's what we want as a family. And, you know, I'm going to spend a lot of time with them and then, you know, figure out in the future what's next.
Oh my God, give me a break. Did anyone else cringe?
I did. This thing was insufferable
me
last
too.
Night.
Did anyone else cringe when me the kid too. Comes on and Jim Gray can't help himself?
Oh, I thought you were just talking about Brady himself, but oh yeah.
Oh, hi, Vivi.
Oh God.
What and,
hello.
You know.
Hi.
Hi, Vivi.
Take the
I love children. What kind of waffles you make with her, Tom? Chocolate chip, shaped like Mickey Mouse, with whipped cream on them?
Freaking creepy.
Hi, baby.
Just a creep.
Really is.
Creeps creep. But, okay, your thoughts.
Oh, here we go with the family stuff again. You know, I got to talk to my wife. You know, she's been after me. They don't want me to get hurt. It's the same crap he said 2 years ago.
Yep.
It's the same crap.
It's the end of 2019 act all over again, and he's using the family as leverage. This is all this is. And I find it annoying. If you're going to retire, I think you already know, so just get it over with. Rip the Band-Aid off. Otherwise, what you're doing is nothing more than a negotiation. We've been through this before. I've seen this movie. And the other thing, you're more protected than ever. Oh, she can't deal with me getting hit. You and the rest of the quarterbacks, you've never been more protected, so stop with that. You're only gone for 6 months. It ain't like you're working an oil rig off the coast of Louisiana, dude. Like, this one really, really goes up my caboose.
All you folks out there who have jobs, who work, do you get 6 months off before you go back to work? I mean,
nope.
And not even the school teachers out there get to say, who said training camp starts the end of July? It's the middle of January. That is 6 months. There might be a mini camp in there, a couple morning workouts, passing camps, a couple hours a day in between. But Brady, for all intents and purposes, does not go back to work for another 6 months. Who out there gets that time with their family?
Nobody. And this guy, not only that, he makes it sound like he's literally on the road for 6 months straight.
Right.
There's 10 road trips a year in football, and you're gone for one night.
Yep.
It is a complete fraudulent. It's a canard. It is a joke. It's a joke when he said it 2 years ago. It's a joke today. However, I will allow for the fact he could also be playing Giselle. You know, that Giselle is legitimately up his keister. And so he plays this card about wanting to be with the family and all that just to appease her. And I'll allow for that, too. But this whole thing about time away from your family, would you stop, please? It is such garbage. Greg, your thoughts?
I completely agree with what everybody said, even the Brady Bobo in the group, Murray. I mean, the family stuff, this is... I totally ridiculed it last time he brought it up with the Patriots and why he wasn't there for off-season workouts and, you know, all this stuff. And you're exactly right. I mean, he is only obligated to go to one thing before training camp, and that's the mandatory minicamp. That's it. He could choose to do whatever he wants to. And also, you know, he has the answers to the test. So how much work is he actually doing, or how long does he have to be at the facility during the season? I think you guys are all exactly right on that stuff. And I just think this is, it has to do with his wife, you know, sort of appeasing her trying to get more time out of her. And I think he's going to be successful. I don't think he's hanging it up, but I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
I sent you guys a clip, too, from the end of December when he was still here from Bleacher Report. Powerful answer from Tom Brady on the sacrifices older players make. Oh, kids, God. Family, life things, things you can't get back. It's like he's following a script. It's the same thing from the end of 2019 when he was sick of being here.
And I'll tell you, too, the whole wife thing, I'm starting to think she says to him, use me as an excuse. Keep making the money. I mean, she's a business person.
Yeah, right.
So I wonder, God, use me as the excuse. You know, get out of Tampa, find yourself a better location with a better team and more money so you can win.
Now, that's what I want, though, the one-year mercenary. Go to San Fran next year, maybe Miami, maybe Tennessee. Oh, yes. Tell me whose gear I buy next. That's what I want.
I mean, she'll sit in front of Robert Kraft and say, you treat my son, my husband, like effing Johnny Foxborough. But now it's, you know, so she's got the balls to say that, but she's not going to, you know, have the personality to keep making money and keep pushing. No. I think the whole Giselle's tugging at his. I think Giselle's pushing him to move out, get out.
Okay, so that I can't.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no feeling on that. Whether it's, you know, he's saying it to appease her or she's really behind. You know, use me. Like, this is a good leverage thing. You want to retire to spend time with. So that I don't know. I just know this act of carrying on about, I got to make waffles with my kids. Like, who out there, do you get to make waffles with your kids every morning out there? You know, my plumber, my electrician, all you guys that get up at 6:30 in the effing morning and get in the truck and go to work, do you get to make waffles for your kids, or are you already on the job? Like, who gets? I mean, I'm lucky.
Nobody.
I'm lucky. I get to go to work at 2:00. Like, I'm one of the lucky ones. But it's like most of you, someone's not home. Sarah didn't have breakfast with the kids for 15 years, for Pete's sake. She was at work, and it's like, oh, my God, you're carrying on about who gets that breakfast with their kids.
No, and here's the other thing, too. Let's say Brady does retire. So he's just going to stay home and do nothing?
Yeah, or is he
gonna,
right.
Please.
Or is he going to launch TB12, try to take it to another level and be on all kinds of trips, meeting all kinds of people, and putting in all kinds of ridiculous hours because that's what's important to him.
Or he's on the golf course, like most dudes who retire.
Or an NFL owner.
Or whatever he's doing.
It's a lie.
Oh, it's a joke.
He's lying.
Hi, Vivi.
Oh, my God. But that's just like, Jim, don't. Oh, my God. It's like I just.
Well, he's at half
hi,
of these.
When he says hi to the kids, he's done this with Benny, too.
Hi, Vivi.
If you look at half of these
Hold on,
games.
Hold on, Jimmy. Go ahead. Give me a clean shot of that.
And.
Hello.
You know.
Hi, Vivi.
I can't hear you. He said, hi, Vivi.
Hi.
Oh, God.
Hey, you remember me.
Angel.
I'm the parasite in the luxury box with your family at all these games. Hi, baby. Every time they pan, he's there.
For Pete's sake. I mean, I'm with him, but just look, 90% of the time when an athlete brings a kid along, it's a shield in some way, shape, or form, or it's a front in some way, shape, or form. So why is Tom Brady any different? He's no different. And when an athlete is doing this sort of stuff, he's leveraging the team. 90% of the time, it's for more money. Or the contract's the first thing on the list, and why would Tom Brady be any different? Okay? I do think there's other things that are important to him. Of course, at this stage, he's not going to come back and play for a bad team. So the team's got to be good enough. He's got to be comfortable with his working conditions. I get it. The coach, what he's surrounded by. But contract's probably number one, because it's number one for everybody else. Why is he any different? Answer, he's not. He's not. But, oh, God, thoughts and prayers. Thoughts and prayers to Tommy, who hasn't had enough time with the kids. He's got 5 months for an offseason, usually. This year, 6 months. And he's home from the stadium probably at 3 o'clock every day. Maybe he stays a little later. I don't know. But give me a flipping break.
Oh, please. And the other thing, too, like, this was part of the logic for skipping the OTAs and everything. And then he's on a boat in the Mediterranean.
All right. So there's your Brady Minute. To your phones, I promise, with Bedard. Right after the update, 90 seconds, no commercials. There is news this afternoon in the NFL, and here it is.
This Sports Hub on-demand content is brought to you by Frazier Engineering. Frazier Engineering is now hiring pipe fitters, plumbers, and HVAC techs to join their team with great pay and benefits. Apply now at FrazierEngineering.com. Frazier Engineering. Great people doing great work.